And part of what started the conversation with Jesse to begin with too was he was talking about going down to this orphanage, and it was quite a while ago, but I had spent some time with an orphanage in Romania and had seen so many of the similar kinds of things where there was a hunger that the people had and the community believing and trust that if you laid hands on them, they would be healed right then, right there on the spot. And it's kind of confronting, I think, to us, because we can have that same expectation. And the topic that I'm going to talk about today, which kind of just flows all in line with this, is that God loves diversity. And I did pass out a paper to you that you can look at. We're going to start in Romans chapter 12 and just take a brief look at some of the types of functions that people have in the body of Christ. Because when I say God loves diversity, it's like that. He loves every nation, people in every nation, every country of the world, every age, you know, from the youngest 2-3-year-old to the oldest one. He loves everyone so individually. And he wants us to get that same picture where we're not doing this pointing fingers like Elizabeth is at the stage right now where everything is here. Well, yeah, hello, yes. Oh, there's Brittany. And there's a recognition that when you point at something, you know, that, well, that's got to mean something, right? Well, when we point fingers normally, we're pointing out our differences. And what I want to show you today is that our differences are not bad. They are actually what God loves. So look at Romans chapter 12 and start in verse 6. It says, but we have various gifts according to the grace that is given to us. And I'm going to be reading out of the Aramaic translation most of the time today. According to the what? According to the grace that is given to us. Everyone has the exact same measure of Holy Spirit. We've talked about this lots of different times. That's the thing that we have in common. But when we live our lives and we are involved with all kinds of situations, there's grace that's poured out. And that's individual for each situation. There's grace that is given to us. And then it's going to go on here and it's going to list 7 different kinds of things where this grace is being poured out. That word gifts there, I just want you to look at for a moment. Because, see, everyone has the gift of Holy Spirit. So, right? That's not the gift that it's talking about here. This gift right here is like a present where your personality, your talents, your abilities, your education, your desires, everything that makes you an individual becomes like a present that you can give to the body of Christ in different situations. And if you go back up to verse 4, it says, for as in one body we have many members, and all members do not have one function. There's many members in the body of Christ, right? They don't all have the same office, is what King James says, or function. They don't have the same function. Now, some definitions of the word function are, could be works, deeds, business, affairs, acts. I mean, Jesse just got done explaining to us some acts, some works that he was involved in. That's a function. That's things that you have an opportunity to do as far as giving and making your life be available as a present to the body of Christ. We're all in a family business. We have God as our Father, Jesus Christ as our big brother, and we are brothers and sisters together. But it's like we have a family business. And in a corporation or in a in a normal business in the world, not everybody does the same thing, right? So that's kind of the comparison. So our lives become presence, and those, the life that when you're willing to be this kind of a present, then God pours out his grace. And he goes, okay, Susie needs grace. Here we go. Shh. Oh, Kent needs grace. Here we go. Here, Bob needs some grace. And then that energizes the function of it so that it's a benefit to the body of Christ. So there's these seven things here. And you can take a look at my book called Members in Particular if you want to know a lot more about the cells. But there, I put them on the picture on the bottom there so that you could see what I'm talking about. And there's some words that are describing the types of things that each one of these functions do. So I'm just going to go through them briefly here. The first one there is prophesying. There is a giving of prophecy according to the measure of his faith. And there's prophesying is, there's a couple of these that are really difficult to understand. And those are the ones I'm going to concentrate on this morning. The prophesying and comforting, what's the difference between those two are the most difficult to understand. The other ones of ministering, teaching, giving, one who leads, those are pretty straightforward types of functions, and we are familiar with them because we see them all the time. So let's just concentrate on these two first. Prophesying is like the connective cells. And in your body, you have bones, right? And then you have ligaments that connect the bones together. If you didn't have any ligaments or any connective tissue in your body, it would all be just like a haphazard pile of stuff. Even like all the organs are connected with connective tissue so that there's a framework for the other parts of the body. And that's very interesting when you look at this word for prophecy, because prophesying, a simple definition would be inspired delivery of exhortation or preaching. And the preaching has to do with building connections with people so that they can be strengthened and that they can stand. That's what the ligaments do in the body. They can connect the bones together. Like if you just had this bone and you had your shoulder bone, but there was nothing to connect them, then they would fall. It would just be like a pile of bones on the floor. And so you have bones, but if you don't have the ligaments, then you have no way to connect them together. And when a person speaks an inspired delivery of words that encourage and that motivate someone, it helps them to stand. And Jesse's sharing was a perfect example of that. Because when I hear stories about a young girl who's only 14, right, who's 11, whose arm gets restored, it does something for me. It connects me with that person, but it also gives me courage to stand even stronger. Like, yes, let's go out. Let's minister in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's see some signs, miracles, and wonders here, too, and believe that when we pray, there will be results. That's a lot of what happens when you see and hear about miracles. And then, you know, can be a part of them, build your trust and faith even more. Look at Titus chapter 1, because Titus is a great example of a man who I believe was an exhorter, or he was prophesying, which is this word right here. All throughout the book of Titus, Paul is telling Titus, well, continue to speak this, or encourage someone over here. Tell this person something. So like in chapter 1 of Titus and verse 9, he tells him, be diligent concerning the teaching of the word of faith, so that he may also be able to encourage by his sound teaching and to reprove those who are quarrelsome. So sometimes prophesying in this sense can be reproving too. It's not always just patting somebody on the back and saying, oh, that's okay. And it might be getting in their face and saying, hey, Andrew, wake up. Not you particularly, but it doesn't have to always be soft. You see what I mean? And if you're considering it in light of this kind of speaking builds connections with people to cause them to stand, sometimes that involves reproof. Now, what Paul did with Titus, which was really neat, if you look in chapter 2, he tells him further that he needs to speak what is suitable to sound teaching. So I'll just tell you the story about what happened to Titus. Was he was with Paul. We believe that he was part of the commission that went to the Jerusalem for the Jerusalem Council with James. So that's one of the first times he's mentioned. But later, Paul sends him to Corinth. If you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, you'll see this. Paul sends him to Corinth, and what he sent him there was to encourage everybody to get their abundant sharing together and to understand what giving was all about. And two times, actually, Titus goes to Corinth to minister to the people there and to work with them about abundant sharing. And that's why in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, in verse 6, it says, and so we requested Titus that as he had begun, so he would complete this grace with you also. He began in his initial visit, and now this is talking about the second visit when he was working with the Corinthians. And if you look at verse 16, you see the motivation of Titus of why he was willing to do this kind of preaching and exhorting. But thanks be to God who put this care for you in the heart of Titus. For he received our exhortation, and because he was very concerned, he went out to you willingly. I mean, somebody can ask you to do something, right? But until you say, yes, I'll do it, I'll go. Until you said, yes, Jesse, that you would go to Tijuana, nothing, you didn't have that experience. But once you said yes, then God opened up all these doors and opportunities to function, right? That's what happened to Titus too. And that's what happens anytime any of us just are willing. See, and then the other thing that I see in here, that this type of functioning of prophesying is based on having care for people. If you don't care for people, then words can be harsh. And it's important that the motivation of the prophesying and exhorting is because of concern and love and care. And then it will come out to be where God's grace energizes into the whole situation. All right, so then the next one is ministering. That just means to work. And again, it's like when there's a job to be done. Paul calls a lot of the people that he talks about in the epistles. You can read Colossians chapter 4 and verse 7 to 11. There's a whole list of people that are fellow workers with him. And it's where if you have a job to do, you just say, hey, count on me, I'll do it. You know, you need to have something moved, I'll do it. You need to, it's any kind of work. When we say the word ministry, this is just kind of a side note, but we say the word ministry, all of a sudden you get this idea of reverend so-and-so, right? That's not what ministry is talking about in here. It's talking about serving, and everyone can serve. But there are people who who function in this on a regular basis and who are really good at serving. All of these different categories, the pictures of the cells, the ministering is like the muscle cells. It's just a picture. It's a way to understand how what the function is and how it works. What the truth is in an individual person, we actually have the capacity to do all of these things, right? So there's a crossover. You know, like an epithelial cell is the one, it's category number 4 about comfort, which we're going to be talking about a little bit more in just a second. But the epithelial cells, they line the stomach, they're on your skin, right? There's a lot of them all over the place. And in the physical body, an epithelial cell does not change into being a nerve cell, right? I mean, they don't cross over. They may go in different parts of the body. Like, you can take an epithelial cell from your skin and you can put it in your stomach and it will function like an epithelial cell. But you can't take a nerve cell and stick it in your stomach and expect it to be an epithelial cell. However, in humans, God put this incredible capacity in our hearts and in our lives that if we just care and if we're willing, we can do all of these things. And He will pour out the grace that's needed. So, you know, if you ever think, well, I can't do that, I'm not good at that, just try, because you'd be surprised as to, with God's grace, His energizing power in operation, you can do things that you never dreamed that you could do. All right, we're back at number 3 is teaching, and teaching is really easy to see. I wanted to just show you one verse in Acts chapter 18. Maybe you're familiar with the story of how Apollos was teaching and Priscilla and Aquila came and heard him, and he, up until that point, Apollos was only teaching about the baptism of John. And so then Aquila and Priscilla come and they talk to him. Acts 18, verse 24. And a certain man whose name was Apollos, a Judean who was a native of Alexandria and was trained in speech and observant in the scriptures, he came to Ephesus. And this man was instructed in the way of the Lord and was spiritually fervent. So he was gung-ho, man, you know. He was teaching with all of his heart and teaching fully about Jesus, well, not knowing anything except the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. And when Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they brought him to their house and fully showed him the way of the Lord. I just love that. Because somebody who's up front teaching, you know, like I obviously love to teach. But the really wonderful part about the way the body works is that, okay, I share something, then somebody writes me an email, says, I heard your teaching and I've got a question about this. Well, what it does for me is that it forces me or encourages me to go to the scriptures and look even further. And if you go back to verse 24, it says he was trained in speech and observant in the scriptures. And that word observant, he was mighty in the scriptures, right, is what King James says? Mighty means he looks into it, he observes, he regards, he inspects, he investigates. He's a teacher is always a learner first. So if you want to function in teaching, then just get busy asking questions, studying things, looking into it, figuring out how to learn. And then, again, God will pour out grace to give you opportunities so that you can share it with others. All right, to comforting. As I said, there was talking about the epithelial cells. And the basic word to comfort means to speak soothingly, to talk to. But a comforter, or someone who is functioning as a comforter, Basically, what they do is they offer acceptance, care, consoling, and protection to someone. So it's, you can see now the difference with the prophesying. That's exhorting, encouraging. They're both with words a lot of the time. But someone who's comforting can also, just by their actions, by what they do, by how they care for people in a very specific way, they offer acceptance and protection to someone. And I want to show you that in 2 Timothy. There's a man whose name is Onesiphorus. And Onesiphorus really doesn't have very much in the Bible about him, except for this one little section, but it tells us a whole lot about him in just three short verses. Chapter 1 and verse 16. May our Lord give mercies to the house of Onesiphorus, who refreshed me many times and was not ashamed of the chains of my bonds. This is when Paul was in prison. Verse 17. But also, when he came to Rome, he searched for me with diligence and found me. May our Lord allow him to find mercies with our Lord in that day, and you know well how he ministered to me in Ephesus. What Onesiphorus did was, when he first met Paul, he ministered to him when he was in Ephesus. Then later, when Paul was in prison, he actually went to Rome. He couldn't find Paul, so he spent all the time searching for him, where he was located, where he was in the prison, what could he do for him, until he finally found him and then offered him his care. And it said, Paul says, that he refreshed me. And the definition for that word refresh is to cool again or recover from the effects of heat. Just like your skin does, you know, when there's heat, your skin, you know, starts sweating, and it acts as a diffuser for the heat. Well, that's what this function does, is it diffuses the cares that we all have in our lives. And you know many people who have done this and functioned like this in our own lives, where there was something that was heavy on your heart and you didn't know what to do about it, and then there was somebody right there offering their acceptance and their protection and their care. And it's like a refreshing, where you just go, oh, okay, now I can go on. Well, we don't have time to look at all of the rest of the functions, so I really want to just end in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But you get the idea. Last week, Trish Barbera and I went to El Paso, and we did a whole seminar on the weekend on members in particular. And I just heard from Dave Royalty that it's up in the cloud. There's a cloud. And if you'd like to have a link to the teachings, then I can send that to you. And it'll also be on the websites and stuff. But let's just end in 1 Corinthians 12 here. Because, of course, the end of this chapter is the great section about the body and how it's supposed to work together, right? So start in verse 12. For as the body is one, how many?
One.
Okay. And there are many members in it, and all the members of the body, although they are many, are one body. So also is Christ. Now this is how the body of Christ works. It's one plus one equals one. It's not mathematical, okay? It's one plus one plus one plus one plus one plus one plus one. It equals one. There's many, but they're really one. And that picture of the body is perfect, because just like there's millions of cells and they're all different, and God loves the variation that's in the cells, because even within these seven categories that are on your sheet there's hundreds of varieties. And God loves that. He designed it that way. But the basic fundamental thing is that 1 + 1 = 1. Verse 13, for all of us also are baptized in one spirit into one body, whether Judean or Gentile, whether slave or free, whether you're old or young, whether you're an American or whether you're a Romanian or whether you're from Mexico or wherever, or India or China. I heard some, wasn't it Steve, you were telling me that in the discussion that Brother Yoon was doing, that you heard that 1 million new converts are being added to the church in China every month. 1 million every month. There's plenty of room to function. And everyone contributes because we're all drinking of that same spirit. And so verse 14 says it again, in case you didn't get it this time. For also the body is not one member, but many. Now it has this great part. Verse 15, if the foot should say, because I'm not the hand, I am not a part of the body. Because of this, is it not part of the body? Or if the ear should say, because I am not the eye, I am not a part of the body. Because of this, is it not part of the body? Obviously, the answer is, of course, it's still part of the body. For if all the body were eyes, where would the hearing be? And if all of it were hearing, where would the smelling be? But God now has placed every one of the members in the body as it has pleased him. So he looks at every single one of us and he says, I'm pleased. I'm pleased with what you function as. I like where you are. I want to pour out my grace so that you can function even more. Now I'm borrowing this illustration from Joyce Meyer, so I have to give her credit for it. But she, in a seminar, she was talking about how it's so part of our natural old man nature to compare, right? And I hear stories like with Jesse and I go, but I want to do that. And it's kind of like the nerve cell saying to the fat cell, well, I want to do what you do instead of being happy to be what they do. And how she was describing it was she said it would be like the hand, the nose, okay, looking at the hand and saying, oh, my hand, it has this beautiful bracelet on it. How come I don't get to wear the bracelet? All I do is I just sit here on somebody's face and then I get all clogged up when there's stuff going on. And it's not fun. I want to wear a bracelet. So it's like, oh, okay. Well, we'll try the bracelet on the nose and see how it goes. Oh, it's beautiful. Oh, yeah, that really, it's very becoming, don't you think so? Oh, I really love, I just want to be the hand so badly. This is great. And then all of a sudden, you can't even look down to read your notes because the bracelet is on the nose and is not functioning very good. Okay, so we have to leave that there. But then, see, the hand says to the foot, those beautiful shoes. I love these shoes. I think I wanna wear shoes. So I put the shoes on my hands. It's great. It's really great. Uh-oh. No, but I want to get that bracelet on my nose because the nose is now unhappy because the bracelet fell off. So you put that up there like that. And you can't do it, and you can't stay, and then all of a sudden, there's nothing you can do. It just doesn't work. That's what happened. That's what happens in the body of Christ when we start comparing and saying, I want to do somebody else's job. All of a sudden, it multiplies the problems. Because first the nose has a problem, and if it was just the nose, that would be okay. But then the foot decides they want to be the hand, and the hand decides they want to be the foot. And all of a sudden, we're doing what Jeffrey was showing today. We're leaning, you know, because the body isn't functioning. It's not going anywhere. The basic answer to it is to just really get in our hearts that God loves diversity. He loves the changes. He loves the distinctions that we have with each other and that we need each other. And that's kind of in verse 19. Now, if they were all one member, you know, if it was all a nose, it would look really funny, right? But if it was all a foot, it would look really funny too. Where would the body be? But now there are many members, but it is one body. So let's end in Ephesians chapter 3. This is the whole thing about the mystery. And the mystery is that everyone, every single person, has the same measure of Holy Spirit. They have Christ in them, right? That's what joins us together. Then the rest of it is all different. Chapter 3, verse 9. Oh, let's just do 8. To me, who am the least of all the holy ones, this grace was given, that I should declare among the Gentiles the wealth of Christ that is untraceable. Paul is even just saying here, see, it was grace given to me, it was poured out to me, even to get to be the one to go and tell the story of the mystery. That was grace to Paul. And that I should bring light to everyone, what is the administration of the mystery that was hidden from the ages in God who created all things? It was God's plan to put us all in a family business together. It was God's plan that we all be unique and have all kinds of really wonderful things to contribute as presence to the body of Christ. And this is his purpose, so that by way of the church, by way of the one body, many members, the extraordinary wisdom of God would be made known to the rulers and to the authorities that are in heaven. That word extraordinary, or what's the King James word? Manifold, right. Diverse. In Aramaic, the word extraordinary means full of distinctions. It was God's wisdom that everything be full of distinctions. He loves the sameness because he put the exact same Christ in every single one. But he also loves the distinctions. And that shows the wisdom of God. And it's like it's broadcasting it to the principalities and powers and going, hey, you know what? You need something. There's somebody in the body of Christ who's going to fulfill it. If we go that way, if we allow it, if we just embrace it and say, I love the distinctions too. Like when Mary danced, I can't dance like that, but it just like melted my heart. We can really consider that the having distinctions is God's wisdom. And by the church, by the church functioning as a whole, all together, we thumb our nose at the principalities and powers. Yeah. So my biggest encouragement today is to just, let's look at each other. Let's admire each other. Let's look at each other and say, gosh, I see you're functioning like this. Take some time and study those functions because they're so beautiful. And everyone has a particular place because there's one body and many members. God bless you.